This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning to you. Happy Thursday. Glad you're with us. The 13th day of February already, which means Valentine's Day is coming up. Just a little reminder there for you if you still got some shopping to do. I don't know what people are planning for tomorrow, but at least the weather won't hamper you. The weather was a big nothing burger yesterday for the most part. People were understandably worried about it, but it didn't end up being much of anything. No, didn't even have to shovel the driveway. I mean, I had the snowblower primed. I was ready to go, and nothing. So disappointing. Not.
But I thought we were only expecting max like a couple inches, so it wouldn't have been some big ordeal.
It was 3 to 5 at one point, they were saying, and maybe some of the northern stretches got a lot more snow than we did where I live. I don't know. But not out in the St. Charles County area.
Well, we don't have a snowblower, and I remember when we had the Snowmageddon, if you want to call it that, in January, and we see our neighbors out there, you know, using their snowblowers, and it was like the Grinch where Martha May or whatever her name is has the and she puts all the lights up so fast, and whatever her name is. Why I'm getting the two characters mixed up, and the other one's trying to put them up one by one, poor husband's out there by himself, you know, I'm taking care of Easton, and he's shoveling. It took him like an hour and a half.
And none of your neighbors offered to come over
I thought maybe they would. They did not. Maybe they didn't see him out there, but I was secretly hoping that maybe they would feel bad for him and come offer to, hey, would you like to use our snowblower?
Hey, I'm not tooting my own horn, but I was offering my snowblower for free use to all my neighbors, because nice. I got gifted my snowblower.
That's a very nice gift, because those are expensive.
My good buddy Steve moved to Birmingham, Alabama to be with his grandkids. And he said, I'm not going to need this anymore. And guess what? It snowed there 2 weeks ago. I texted him a picture of his snowblower and said, bet you wish you had this now. And he goes, I don't ever want to see that thing again. So because I was gifted this nice Toro snowblower, I'm out there blowing my driveway off, and I see my neighbors, anybody with a shovel, I'm like, hey, come and use this.
Well, I'm calling you then next time our neighbors aren't offering.
I'll load it in the truck and drive over. I promise you that. All right. Hopefully you're having a great day. You can follow us on all the socials this morning if you want to watch what we do here in the studio on X or YouTube.
Why did you have to say that right now?
Why? Is it not working?
It dropped
glitched?
Out.
Yeah. Oh, no. All right. Well,
don't
forget that then for the minute. And then Facebook, of course, we're usually live up there as well. And you can download the podcast anytime, wherever you download podcasts. And you can hear our great interview earlier with Vance Bars, funny guy, financial services analyst, looking at consumer debt. I mean, $1.7 trillion in the U.S. people have on high interest credit cards. The banks love that, But that's not a place you want to be, and he had some advice on things you might want to look at if you find yourself in that situation. So you can find that up on the podcast. Coming up next, we're going to talk to former Senator Jim Talent, anxious to get his take on Tulsi Gabbard, who's now been sworn in as the DNI. Of course, RFK Jr. is supposed to get a vote this morning, so we'll be keeping an eye on what's going on in the Senate. Tomorrow, we're going to have Eric Burleson on, the congressman from the 7th Congressional District. He tore it up in that hearing yesterday, that committee on saving money, that DOGE committee that Marjorie Taylor Greene is part of. And I thought he did a great job. So we're going to get to that for you. We're going to get to the congressman tomorrow. Right now, though, I want to get to our top stories. Carl, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I'd like to ask if Democrats really care about unelected bureaucrats making decisions over our lives, where were they whenever their god, Anthony Fauci, was forcing vaccine and mask mandate?
Yeah, Brandon Gill, one of the congressmen on that committee yesterday, asking about all of the crybabies on the left who were complaining about, us trying to save them money. It's incredible.
The American people's anger over this betrayal is what gave birth to the concept of DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency.
Yep, that was Marjorie Taylor Greene. She was the chairwoman of that. You should have heard her trying to gavel out yesterday when some of the Democrats kept talking past their time, like Jasmine Crockett.
Bribes and wire fraud, those are the charges that former Illinois House Speaker Mike Madigan has been found guilty of. His trial coming to close after 3 months.
Wow, that had to be like one of the most foregone conclusions in history that Madigan was going to finally be held accountable. Why did it take so long? What's wrong with those people up there in Springfield?
This is what America voted for, not cheaper eggs. They voted for an entertaining cabinet of billionaires.
Mehdi Hassan over at CNN melting down over there with lack of joy last night. Joy Reid, she has no joy. They have no joy over there at all in Mudville because they can't believe what's happening around them. And at such a rapid pace, like every single day, something new comes out. And they hate Elon Musk with a purple passion. They want to do anything they can to stop Elon Musk because Mr. Doge must be stopped, they think. And listen to Hassan. I thought this was pretty funny because even Joy Reid agrees with him here at the end. They are at their wits' end.
Boy, this is what America voted for, not cheaper eggs. They voted for an entertaining cabinet of billionaires. It's a real problem. And I think it's going to really, really hurt the U.S. in the medium to long run, if not the short run. We are 3 weeks in. God help us. It feels like three years.
We're only 3 weeks in. God help us. She goes, it feels like 3 years. Can you imagine what they're going to be like 2 years from now?
This is going to be a very long 4 years for them.
It's the truth. They are absolutely melting down over everything. And, I thought that they did a great job yesterday. Listen to Dean Phillips. So I started to play some of this earlier. Phillips is the Democrat. I think he's from, is he from Minnesota or Wisconsin? Minnesota, I think. The congressman who tried to run in the presidential primary against Joe Biden. And, of course, the Democrats hated him for it, and they did everything they could to block him from getting on ballots, and it was just nasty. He still ended up with more primary votes than the eventual nominee, who, of course, was the Vice President, Kamala Harris. Listen to Phillips yesterday trying to warn Democrats to come down off this ledge. Like, whatever Trump's for, they're against automatically, even if it makes sense, like stopping government waste.
And that was a proposition of mine. Unfortunately, Democrats are only focused on one thing right now, Mr. Musk. The fact of the matter, he's quite popular. He has the largest platform in human history, which is, of course, Twitter/X. And I think we're missing the boat as Democrats. And all I'm saying is that sometimes it's better to join them and actually play a role in how the strategy works rather than so pathetically, frankly, try to combat something that clearly is a steamroller and Democrats are being steamrolled.
Yeah. Right now, I would think that's absolutely the truth. The polling proves it, and they're arguing. They're taking the 20% side. One of the Fox guys said that last week. I didn't come up with that. He's like, these are 80-20 arguments. 80% of the public agrees with him. Trump's always on the 80% side, and the Democrats immediately jump onto the 20% side. And these are losing issues. When you're talking about $20 trillion moved out of the EPA to a private bank account, Lee Zeldin announced that one yesterday. They moved it to a private bank so the money could then be distributed after Trump took office to various NGOs. Your money. Imagine the bureaucracy reaching into your bank account and transferring money out of your savings account to somebody else. That's what they did. And they're unveiling more and more of this stuff every single day. All right, coming up a little later, they are going to vote today, supposedly, on RFK. So far, so good. Everybody seems to be getting at least the 51 votes they need. We'll talk to our friends, former Senator Jim Talent, when we come back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV Plus.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we'll be talking about that tomorrow. We have a lot of stuff, and I want to commend Elon because he's done a fantastic. He doesn't need this. You know, he's abused by you people every day. He's found more things than anybody could find. I think he's got the credibility to do it. I know he does. And it's his group of people. You know, they started off with 12. I call them 12 geniuses. They started off with 12 and they went to 20 and 25. And now they're up to almost 100. People are joining to help them because there's a massive fraud that's taken place.
Former Senator Jim Talent on the line with us this morning. Jim, how are you?
Fine, Mark. Thank you.
Absolutely. You know, earlier this morning, I played a soundbite from Bill Clinton, when he first took office with Al Gore outside of the White House, talking about their focus was to eliminate government waste. They wanted to trim the federal bureaucracy by 15% or something like that. And I mean, they had all these big plans. And here we are years later finding out that it's worse than we ever imagined.
Yeah, it was called reinventing government. This was their agenda, and I remember it very well. And there is an enormous amount of what everybody, or virtually everybody, would call waste, fraud, or abuse in the federal budget, and that's what they're going after. And I think when we're running trillion-dollar deficits, that's actually a pretty good idea. You know, it's amazing how the Democrats are screeching about it, but some of their constituencies are affected. I mean, chiefly the public employee unions. So, but still, I mean, you would think, for example, the way that evidently we've been running federal retirement, and I had no idea this is being done with hard copies, paper copies that are deep in some mineshaft somewhere. I guess I shouldn't be surprised. Because the government will continue to do things the same way it's done it, for decades and decades, unless somebody with some energy and vigor decides to reform it, and that's what they're trying to do now.
I heard Lee Zeldin, who you served with Lee Zeldin, didn't you?
I did not serve with Lee, but I know him.
So he announced yesterday, he's the head of the EPA now, and he announced yesterday that they discovered that like $20 trillion had been transferred at the last minute from the Biden administration to a private bank so it could be distributed to NGOs after Donald Trump took office because they were afraid the money wouldn't get there if they didn't do it that way. It reeks of illegality. And, of course, once the money's out the door, there's no accountability at all. He's talking about tracking down the people that did this and holding them accountable. I think that's great.
Yeah, I doubt it's a trillion, but even, whether it is or it isn't, whether the figures in any individual case are small, they add up. It makes a big difference. It's not going to balance the budget, but this is, I think it's exactly the kind of signal that the markets and the economy need if we're going to be able to get it, the growth we want without more inflation. So I'm still trying to figure out what the huge concern is. I mean, the president has advisors, and in this case, these are outside advisors. I guess they call them special government employees. They're not signing any of the orders. They're making recommendations. Again, if you want to go back to history, if you look at when FDR came in at another time of a national crisis, he had what was called the Brain Trust. He brought in a bunch of intellectual economists, et cetera, to try and get the economy moving. This is similar, And this yelling will pass away at a certain point.
And you're right. It was billion. It was $20 billion because $7 billion of it specifically was supposed to go to one climate change agency, not private, but an NGO. So you're right. It was in the billions. My mistake.
Hey, Jim, we saw.
Go ahead, Kim.
I was just going to say, I'm sorry. I wanted to make sure we got this question asked because I saw, of course, Tulsi Gabbard got confirmed and then she got sworn in last night by Pam Bondi. RFK Jr.'s vote is up today. Some Republicans have expressed concerns with him. They talk about his stance on vaccines. How do you see that vote playing out today?
Oh, I think he's going to get confirmed. And I think what the president wants is for HHS to go into a couple things. One of them is the relationship between FDA and Big Pharma. In other words, has FDA been captured by Big Pharma? Now, there's a lot of evidence that it has been, and if it has been, that's a very serious thing. And then the other issue, I think, is just of the validity of medical research today. And this, there are a lot of authorities in medicine who've been screaming about this for years and years, that a whole lot of the research that is done and on which people rely is basically nonsense. And Kennedy's made that point often. So I think that's what they're going to go into. He's going to go, which is, what the president wants, and I think what we need. So I think he's going to get confirmed, as Gabbard was. I would have cheerfully voted for Gabbard because I think the intelligence community, and particularly the Bureau, with regard to domestic surveillance, has exceeded the law and exceeded its authority. And I don't mean just for political reasons. I just think they routinely, for example, use Section 702
yes.
to identify information about Americans, and they're not supposed to do that. Okay, well, and everybody who's studied it has concluded that they are doing it. So we need somebody in there who's very sensitive to those kinds of equities.
She would be the person to get that job done for sure. Jim, thank you as always for your thoughts this morning.
You guys are welcome.
Absolutely. Talk soon. Former Senator Jim Talent there. Good to get him on. Coming up next, are you having eggs this morning or are they too pricey for you? We're going to talk about the shortage and when it might end. We'll be back in just a minute. Well, this is how bad things are right now. This is a story this morning out of Salt Lake City, right? As if the impact of the bird flu on the nation's egg supply wasn't bad enough by driving prices up, it's now giving thieves a new target. Apparently, in Pennsylvania, egg thieves stole more than 100,000 organic eggs with a street value of $40,000 from Pete and Jerry's Organic Eggs. I guess you got to be able to turn those around and sell them pretty quickly. But this is probably what we're looking at with prices up close to 50%. Why? My question is, why? So we asked Richard Stern from the Heritage Foundation to join us this morning. He's the director of the Grover Herman Center for the Federal Budget, and he can help us get to the bottom of this. Richard, welcome in.
Thank you for having me on today.
Absolutely. Great to have you. I'm just baffled by the whole thing. Everybody's mad and trying to blame Donald Trump or trying to blame Joe Biden for the egg shortage.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, this is frankly the parting shot from Bidenomics. Look, the bird flu is not something that either of them could control about. But the truth is the Biden administration is the one that murdered millions of these birds and then turned right around the day after they left office and started saying, you know what, this is Donald Trump. He spent exactly 10 seconds in the office, and so it's his fault, as opposed to having a real conversation with the American public. And why are people going to these kind of lengths? It's because they've spent 4 years of seeing massive price increases, the cost of living jumping $20,000 for a family of four under the 4 years of the Biden regime's choking taxes and regulations.
Well, I appreciate you using the word murder, because every time I've heard people refer to this, they say the chickens were culled, but they were killed is what they were. They were wiped out. How long does it take? What's the recovery time for that? I don't know how deeply involved you are to know that or not, but do we have to wait a year for the chickens to get old enough to lay eggs again? I mean, what's the recovery time here?
So it depends a little bit, to be fair, on actually how much we're willing to import from, frankly, Canada and Mexico, which is what happened last time when we had this flu about 10 years ago. But the truth is prices then recovered after a few months.
Okay.
But it does take time, though. And again, what I would say is, you know, part of this as well is that Obama was president then, and it took longer than it needed to, in part because, as you can imagine, he regulated a lot more than what was required to really deal with the process. And that delayed by quite a bit farmers being able to get back into operation. So I expect Trump, of course, won't be that regulatory.
You know, I've seen several people, really, including some of our listeners, who have asked, why are we seeing the prices of eggs skyrocketing but not the prices of chicken? My understanding of it is it's taken a toll specifically on the birds, I guess, that produce eggs versus those that are raised specifically for their meat. Is that your understanding of it, or have you heard much about that?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely correct. And so part of it is they're kept in very different conditions. They're kept in very different places. And obviously, as you can imagine, the chickens that are raised for meat come and go very quickly. The egg-laying population stays around in these dense population areas. And so we've seen this several times in the history of American agriculture. So it's just one of those unfortunate realities of the situation.
Yeah. When you see Waffle House that was putting a 50-cent surcharge on every egg you ordered for your food, I mean, that's just a shock to most people, and they don't know what to do with it. So you said Obama put extra regulations on eggs being brought in, I assume, from Mexico or Canada. Were those out of concern for how the eggs were produced, or what was the regulation for?
Oh, no, no, my apologies. It's not that he put regulations on the trade. He put regulations on American farmers, which made it a lot harder for them to be able to get chickens in and to be able to actually start going back to their operations. So, you know, what happened then, what's happening now, is they'll force them to kill the chickens in place and then leave the facilities offline for sometimes close to a month while they're letting them compost and the place is being cleared out. But what I will tell you is when that happened 10 years ago, every scientist told you that that was way too long, that the requirements that they were having of the farms were completely onerous and needless. And so that delayed by quite a bit how long it took for farmers to be able to get back into operation. I haven't seen a lot of details at that level come out yet. So it's hard to know what the Trump admin's going to do, but my guess is they're not going to have anywhere near the time delays or the other onerous regulations that 10 years ago put a lot of farmers out of business and you know, needlessly delayed the process of getting back in production.
Yeah, it's a good point. Richard Stern with us, director of the Grover Hermann Center for the Federal Budget at the Heritage Foundation. Hey, since we've got you on the phone, looking at those economic numbers that came out yesterday, any comment on, like, where you see things going with interest rates and all that stuff, since inflation continues to be a bigger number than people were expecting?
Yeah, well, I'd say a bigger number than some people were expecting.
Okay.
I think one of the tragic parts about this is in the inflation is really being driven by the level of reckless government spending and the size of federal deficits. You know, when the government runs a deficit, it's trying to borrow money at the same time that prospective home buyers are trying to borrow for mortgages and small businesses are trying to borrow to keep themselves afloat and expand their operations. And so as long as the government is going to run deficits, and we are currently projecting $23 trillion of new deficits over the 10 years, you're going to keep having interest rates go up, keep having inflation go up. The way that I always say it is the federal deficit is the bank robber. The Fed is merely the getaway car driver deciding how much is inflation or interest rate hikes, but you're the bank being robbed.
I love that. I saw Elon Musk tweet out, X, I should say, yesterday, that as they cut down on more of this government waste, that should have a positive influence on interest rates. Do you agree with him?
Oh, absolutely. But what I would say, though, is Doge is doing a hero's job in D.C., but it shows you just how vast the deep state is in D.C. It shows you just how many years they've spent finding ways to steal your money. So Doge is making a dent, but at the moment it's only a very small dent.
Yeah, and Congress needs to come in and hopefully, I don't know if they can do it through reconciliation, they need to eliminate some of this money moving forward, right?
Oh, absolutely. And reconciliation is a perfect way to do it.
Yeah, true. Very true. Richard Stern, listen, we appreciate the information this morning, because I asked the question yesterday. We need to find somebody who can explain this egg shortage and when this thing might be over, and they found the perfect person. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, great to have you on this morning. And Richard worked as a congressional staffer for a number of years as well. Before he moved over to the Heritage Foundation, worked for Steve King out of Iowa and a few other people. So he's been involved there in Washington for a few years. It's good. It's good. It's good to know that there's some end in sight, and that the obvious solution to this short term is going to be to import some eggs from Mexico and Canada. So then you have to wonder, if there are tariffs placed, those prices are going to go up, right? At least in the short term.
I just hope that these prices go down, because, man, I ate so many eggs growing up. There's actually a picture of me in my high school yearbook holding a frying pan, because all my friends knew, like, my parents were very health conscious, and so we never had, you know, Fruit Loops or Frosted Flakes. That was considered a special snack for us.
Okay.
And our friends made fun of that, too, that was a special snack. But we would grow up eating scrambled eggs. Like, pretty much every morning, my mom would wake up and make us scrambled eggs or some sort of egg. And so, yeah, we love it. And, you know, my husband loves them. My son loves them. And so I'm really sad about this. I want them to go down, because we rely on those eggs.
My bigger question is this, is if we get eggs imported from Mexico, will they taste better on my homemade huevos rancheros than what I would have to go get at El Magway if it wasn't closed? I'm just wondering out loud. I mean,
how long is El Magway closed? Is it like
I don't know if it's El Magway.
I thought El Magway was on the list. I don't know if it's just one location. I think it's just, I'm not sure how that works. I thought they were closing for at least a week. I'm pretty sure they're closing over Valentine's Day tomorrow, which is kind of a big move because I would have to guess that's a relatively big day.
Some of them limited their closings to Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Of course.
Probably the nights you eat out the least.
Yeah.
To limit the damage to try to make their point. Maybe the point they made to ICE is, hey, look here. Look over here. Because if these are the restaurants that were closing down, one reason might have been so that ICE couldn't come and raid them. I don't know. I think it's silly. It's self-defeating.
I think it is self-defeating. I think there will be some people who are really sad and go out there and try to make a statement that look what you're doing to these restaurants, forcing them to shut down even though they decided to on their own. What would really have an impact is if they shut down over Cinco de Mayo. People would freak out because, you know, customers who normally don't go out to Mexican restaurants will find themselves there for a margarita on Cinco de Mayo.
There you go. And if you're going to make your point, go to go there, order your margarita with no ice. Kim, what's coming up on Kim on a Whim?
Let's talk about this mom who sued a school out of California because, come to find out, she had an OnlyFans page. And the district, once they found out about it, said, you cannot volunteer at your son's school.
Oh.
Well, she lost that legal battle. Should she be allowed to volunteer at her son's school if it's now public knowledge that she has an OnlyFans account?
Good question. We'll talk about it next.
Kim on a Whim.
Well, here's something that I think will get a lot of people talking, and that is this mom out of Florida who wanted to volunteer at her son's school. She has two sons, and once they found out that she's on OnlyFans, they said, no, you can no longer volunteer here. So she sued the school district. This is the Orange County Public Schools. Well, she ended up losing that battle. This was a lawsuit for $1 million that was filed back in 2023. Said, nope, you cannot help out with class activities.
I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, she's not a teacher. So let's say they found out that outside of work, she worked at the local strip club to make money for her family. Would she then not be allowed to volunteer in her kid's elementary school classroom because somebody knew what she did for a living, even though there was no allegation of her dressing suggestively or anything when she came in to volunteer? I mean, I wonder why they can get away with that. She's a taxpayer, clearly.
Yeah, I kind of have mixed reviews about this, too. Listen to what she said. This is 33-year-old Victoria. I think her last name is Treese.
Okay.
If I'm not hurting anybody and I'm not affecting anybody's day, then it's somebody's choice to do something that's fully legal.
She was also upset that these parents took the photos off OnlyFans and sent them to school leaders. Now, the irony in all this is that clearly those parents must have been on OnlyFans in order to find it. So that,
yes,
that tells you something in and of themselves. Now,
somebody had to subscribe to her feed to get that,
to even find that. You know, no teacher should be allowed to have an OnlyFans account. Those teachers who have been fired for doing that on the side, I support that. I do not. I understand that you're not paid well as a teacher. I think they should be paid more. But unfortunately, that's just not the case. But, As a mom, now, let me just say this. I do not agree with OnlyFans. I don't agree with that at all. I think it's completely inappropriate. Do I think if you have an account as a mom, you should be told you can't even volunteer? I don't know. It's weird. I would almost say maybe you should. Now, if you're dressing provocatively and you're creating a scene or something like that, or you're running around and telling all the other parents, oh, I'm on OnlyFans, check me out, or doing something like that that's taking away, that should not be allowed.
Are they worried? You think it's a group of moms that are worried that their husbands might be paying more attention to
I wouldn't be surprised
mom.
If it was a husband who was the one who found it.
Yeah.
She was also, the fact that she's even upset, though, that the pictures were shared because she was saying they're private, no. I'm sorry.
It's
I understand
private.
You have to have a subscription to see the OnlyFans pictures, but Newsflash, Victoria, and anybody else listening, whatever you put on the internet is not private. And it's sad to me that someone who's 33 years old, because that's just a little bit younger than me, in high school, I think, is when Facebook came out. Like, you should be well aware now that anything that goes online can be screenshotted and sent to everybody. It lives there pretty much forever.
Maybe she copyrighted herself. I'm just kidding. You know that didn't happen. No. You're right. No, I'm sure she's a little bit embarrassed by it, but you know, it's the lure of the devil's money, I guess. I mean, there are these people doing this that are making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. The teachers from down here, right?
No, not just hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. I'm talking like $1 million a month.
Some of them. Well, I don't know.
That one teacher locally said that she was, because she had she had national attention from what came out.
Probably.
Because of that, arguably. Now, I don't think everyone's in this camp. She truly said she was making $1 million a month. That's insane. That is just sad. It's sad.
I can't envision, while the lure of the money might be significant, if you thought you could make $1 million easy dollars by turning a camera on yourself and doing lewd things, how is she going to explain that to her children someday? That would be my question. Now, maybe they're driving a Maserati and swimming in a nice pool. They don't care. I don't know. But you're not setting a very good standard for your family there at some point.
No. And she's saying that she's able to support her children and that this job allows her to be active in her kids' lives. But
I'll
to your bet. Point, this is traumatizing when the kids find out that her mom is doing porn. I mean, I've not seen the pictures. There are some posted of her dressed in a very scandalous way, but it's not like there's any naked pictures, but I'm sure they exist.
I got to go read the lawsuit. I don't understand. I mean, I understand a school district being able to restrict who's on property if you're a sex offender or something like that, but simply based on the fact that the district disagrees with what your job is, if it's a legal job, I mean, what if a district decided a parent couldn't come on the property because they ran a pot dispensary, for example. Mm-hmm. You run a marijuana dispensary, you reek a pot all the time, we don't want you in the classroom. You know people would raise hell about that. But not right. not in this case. I don't know. It's weird. I don't agree with what she does, but still. I think she has a right to do it and volunteer in her kid's classroom as long as she's appropriately dressed when she's there, would be my take on it. What say you? With social media is up working again, you can leave us a message on there. We got Shannon Bream coming up. I want to get her thoughts on the big court win for the Trump administration. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.